I'd encourage you to open your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, to the book of 1 John. I'd like to read 1 John, beginning in verse 3 of chapter 2. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word true to the Lord, love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we're in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother in darkness and is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John writes concerning our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. He not only writes concerning our relationship with them, but we back up a few verses into chapter 1, and we see that he writes about our relationship with God and the fact that sin separates us from God, so I need to have my life right with God. Let's go back up to chapter 1 of 1 John and look at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Then we go to verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2, and he says, my little brethren, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the reconciler, or the propitiation, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So we're here today on the first day of the week to worship God. We have the command to assemble on the first day of the week. We have the example where the early Christians came together to worship on the first day of the week in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. So it is that on the first day of the week, we come together to worship God, to sing praises to him, to offer up words of prayer, as Willie just talked to God, and let our minds, as we entered into a few minutes of talking to our Father, and the studying of God's Word, the teaching and preaching of God's Word, the edification we have with one another, the opportunity to lay by in store, and certainly the opportunity we have to come together on the first day of the week as a day of remembrance of what Jesus did for us, what Christ did through the will of the Father, and what the Father allowed his Son to do for us in coming and dying on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins. So we have so many things to be thankful for. And we look here in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, through chapter 2 and verse 2, and we see that Jesus Christ is the one who cleanses us from all sin. So you might be thinking, well, I know that I need to come to God. I know I need to obey God, and I know I need to worship God, and I know I need to do those things too. But the thing that gets in my way with God is sin. And Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah talked about the fact that it is the sins and transgressions of men that separates them from God. And so I need to understand that everyone is prone to sin, Romans 3:23, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. And we see then that certainly that whenever we look at the wages of sin and what the gift of God is through Christ, we understand that we have a relationship with God that we can have for the forgiveness of sin. So we can be cleansed of all unrighteousness. Christ takes away our sins when we come to Him on our terms. Let's go back to Romans 3 and verse 23 briefly. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And so certainly as we think about sinning and sinning against God, sinning against others, sin is what separates us from God. And then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that I mentioned a few minutes ago, let's go back to verse 22 of Romans 6. "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wage of sin is death, but the sin gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this morning, we want to take a few minutes and talk about being cleansed from our sins. We understand as Christians what we did to get forgiveness of our sins. We know the Bible teaches that we're to hear the word of God and believe it from the heart, confess Christ as the Son of God, be willing to repent of our sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And so the blood of Christ is what cleanses us from our sins. It takes away our sins when we come to Him on His terms and on His conditions. And so being cleansed from sin is very important because all people sin. So let's think about that for a few minutes this morning. The reason I decided to talk about this morning is because if you were in Coleman County this past week on Thursday, you know there were some strong winds came through. And in parts of Alabama, there was a lot of damage. There were some people that had a lot of property damage down in South Alabama. Numerous lives were lost during those storms. But when the storms went through, if you noticed Thursday night, the wind blowing, and Friday morning, when I walked outside, I couldn't help but notice that everything had been swept clean. Think about how God works. In the springtime, the flowers bloom, the leaves come out, the grass grows. You plant a seed, and it grows in its likeness to whatever it is. Corn, or cotton, or wheat, or beans. And it flourishes in the sunshine and the rain that God nourishes the earth with. In the summertime, when it's dry and dusty, and then God sends the rain, and He sends the rain, and it comes in, and everything just changes over the period of a few hours, and it's like everything's been swept clean. There's a different sweet, clean scent in the air after a spring rain or a summer rain. And in the fall, you see the leaves that come down and they cover your lawn. They blow up against your house. And we get out there and we rake those leaves away from important places and rake them away from our walkway so that we don't have to trample over those leaves and they stick to our shoes and go into our house. We drop them off on the carpet and so the leaves fall. But if you'll notice in the fall then, He sends the rain. He sends the changing of the season and the winds blow and then the leaves fall off the trees. All the leaves collect on the ground. But then Friday morning, if you took notice, you would see that most of those leaves in a flat area were gone. Swept clean. God has the ability to sweep clean the earth and the universe and to nourish it and replenish it as He set it in motion. And so think about my life and your life and the things that happen within me and the things that I say and the things that I do and the places I go. And I'm not always what I should be. No one is, because we're human beings. We're prone to sin. But God, through His mercy and grace in His Son, gives us the ability to be swept clean of our sins. Swept clean. He takes them out of the way. He takes them out of our life. They're forgiven. They're gone. Our life is cleaned up. Is there anyone who would not want to be swept clean of their sins? Because sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. And those who commit sin and continue in sin and live in sin will be separated from God eternally. So why would anyone not want to get forgiveness of sins and come to God and be swept clean of all the things that are in their life, the clutter? Yesterday afternoon, my wife and I were over here, and she was printing the bulletin off, and we were doing a few things, and we were about to leave, and Ronnie Lord pulls up in the parking lot and gets out, and so he walks around the corner of the building. I said, "What are you doing, Ronnie?" He said, "Well, I came over to blow the leaves away." He said, "We've been having a lot of leaves fall." And he said, "I came over to blow them off the steps." And he said, "Have you already swept them off?" I said, "No, I hadn't, Ronnie." But what I thought when he said that was, you know, the good Lord's already took care of that. He swept them out of here Thursday night. But Ronnie came over to move those leaves because he knew they'd been falling and they'd been collected. But when those winds came after those storms over Thursday night, it was swept clean. You didn't have to pick up a broom, did you, Ronnie? Didn't have to pick up a rake because they were swept clean. And so God has the ability to take care of the universe and the things around us. And he has the ability to take care of you and me, even the clutter in our life. Sweep us clean of our sins. Do we ever think about the things that go on around us from day to day and little things like the winds coming and cleaning up the leaves from the yard? And then the fact that he went through all those things, through all those centuries of mankind, making the promise that I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send a Savior that will be for all people. That everyone can be swept clean of their sins if they'll come. He provided that. God had the plan. He put his plan in place. And we have that plan in front of us today in the Word of God. So this morning, for a few minutes, let's talk about being swept clean. We just read 1 John chapter 5 through chapter 2, verse 2, where we know that Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. He is the propitiation. He is the reconciler to God for us. So we know that in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So who needs to be swept clean? Everyone that reaches the age of accountability. And then, even when we come to Christ and are baptized by faith and understand what the blood does, and the blood takes away our sin, and we rise to walk in newness of life, we have responsibility then to desire the sincere milk of the Word and grow thereby, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. And in growing in that Word, we develop a knowledge and understanding of what God's will is for us and how He wants us to live so that we can be more like Him. And along the way, if we make mistakes, and we will, we have an advocate with the Father, and God allows us as His children to do what? Come to Him in penitence, a penitent heart, confess our sin, and ask Him for forgiveness. And what did we read there this morning in 1 John chapter 2? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so I need to be thankful that God has provided a way that I can have my sins swept clean. And that as I go through life as a child of God, if I make mistakes, He can sweep them clean again when I come to Him on His terms. And I reiterate this morning, as I've mentioned many times from this pulpit, that the provision God makes for His children, who's been baptized into Christ and their sins are forgiven and we're walking, is not a provision that we have a license to sin, but it's there through the mercy of God that if we do sin, not intentional, not walking in sin, but when we make mistakes, we can go to God and confess our fault, and we can confess it one to another if necessary. We can ask for forgiveness, and we can pray for Him. And what does He do? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He will sweep us clean. For as an alien sinner, when we come to Him in baptism, and as His child, when we come to Him in a penitent heart, confession and prayer, we can have our sins washed away. Look with me to Romans chapter 6, and let's read just the first 14 verses this morning about baptism and what it does, and then what's expected of us after we are baptized into Christ, after we are swept clean of our sins. We have some responsibilities then to continue to walk in a clean life and a dutiful life toward God in obeying Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We'll stop there briefly. Think about what happens when we're baptized into Christ. Our sins are swept away. They're forgiven. They're gone. And we can walk as a new man, as a new person, as a new woman, in Christ because our sins have been swept away. Look at verse 5. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, but he who has died has been freed from sin. There it is. He sweeps us clean. He cleans up our life. He forgives our sins when we come to him in baptism with the right terms, in confession and repentance and obedience by faith. Now, verse 8. If we die with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to once to sin, once for all. For the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12. Therefore, here it is, once we've been baptized and we've had our sins washed away, we're to be determined to seek the Word of God out. Understand what it is, apply it to our life, and do not sin. Let sin reign in our mortal body. Don't let it be an active part of our life. Don't let it be something that controls us. I mean, it may be something that enters from time to time when we're weak, we make a mistake, but because we're not perfect. But we're not walking in sin, we're walking in the light as he is in the light, and we're resisting sin. But then, he says in verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as the instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We're no longer under the law of Moses, where they had to offer up the blood of bulls and goats year after year continually to roll their sins forward, as the saying goes. They could never take away sin by the blood of bulls and goats, but Christ died once, shedding his blood for us, that sin can be taken away. So what does the blood of Christ do for us? It sweeps us clean when we come to him in the waters of baptism in obedience. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 59 and have an error on the board there. Isaiah chapter 59, that should be verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. I guess I was typing too fast and left the 1 off. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1, let's talk about sin and the need to have it washed away, swept out of our life, and the fact of who can do that for us. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1, going through verse 8. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their egg dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Think about it. When we walk in the way of sin, when we walk in the way of unrighteousness, when we walk in the way of iniquity, when we walk and obey in disobedience to God and do not obey him, what's happening? We're not going to have any peace because we separated ourselves from God. We don't have the forgiveness of sins. But God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He can and he will save us if we'll come to him in obedience and listen to what he has to say and have our sins washed away. I think back again to Friday morning and how clean everything looked. And if you drove over the road a ways, it might have been out in the country, it might have been in the city, it doesn't matter where. if you drive and you look after after a rain and the winds are blowing like that, everything around the roads and the area just looks so clean because it's been swept clean through the will of God. And our life then can be swept clean of sin. Turn with me, if you will, while we're in the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. I'd like to read about seven verses. Psalms chapter 19. The psalmist talks about the cleaning up of our life and what God does for us. Psalms chapter 19, beginning in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are pure and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Let's pause there briefly and look at what he said in those verses. The law of God is good, it's perfect, it converts the soul. What do I need to do then in relationship with God? Well, I understand in Isaiah 59 that my sins are what separates me from God. What is it that is perfect that can help me? The law of God. And in the law of God, I learned about the perfect life of Jesus Christ, who did no sin, no guile was found in his mouth. He lived and left the perfect example for me to follow. He shed his blood, sinless blood, the only blood that could atone me of my sins and sweep my sins away. He's done that for me. But let's look at these remainder of these verses, verses 12 through 14 in Psalms chapter 19. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. You know, the Lord knows everything about me. I may not know everything about you, and you may not know everything about me. But whatever it is in my life, the Lord knows about it. He can sweep clean everything. He knows my inner being. He knows my thoughts, my actions. He knows your thoughts and actions. He can cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness if we come to him on his terms. Verse 13. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Think about that. As we walk through the day, as we lay down at night, wherever we're at, whoever we're with, whatever we're doing, we need to be careful about sin. Keep our eyes peeled and our heart right. Resist sin. Look out for it. Avoid it. Go around it. Take it away. Don't get involved in it. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So what is it that sweeps us clean of our sins, takes them away, and helps us to abide in a life here on this earth that is acceptable to God and acceptable to man, that will help us to be better people? The blood of Christ and the law of the Lord and the word that instructs us. We need to take hold of that word and receive it and believe it and obey it. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Turn there. We sometimes just quote these verses, and numerous ones have quoted them from time to time, and I've used them often in sermons. But think about the opportunity to have our life cleaned up, an opportunity to start over, a fresh start, a clean start, forgiven. We can get that in Christ, and he asks us to come to him and receive that. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, or meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What an invitation. And you know what? Everyone needs that invitation. Because, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Well, we think about serving God and doing his will and obeying what he asks us to do. It's important for us to do that in our life. I'd like to read just a few songs. We're not going to sing any, but I got We've got a couple of minutes. Let's look to number 307 that talks about being washed in the blood and what the blood of the Lamb can do for us in cleaning up our life, taking away our sin, and cleansing us from all our sin. Number 307. It says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Turn back to number 276. The words of the songs go like this. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Verse 2. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Verse 3. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. What is it that sweeps us clean, takes away our sins? Is it propitiation? Is a go-between, is a reconciler back to God. It's the blood of the Lamb. Very quickly, number 293, let's read the words of this song. 293. Come to Jesus, He will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your hearts to Jesus, He will make them white as snow. Come to Jesus, do not tarry, enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, dying sinner. Other Savior there is none. He will share with you His glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today. If you will, in closing, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28. And let's look at verse 13. We've talked about hearing the Word of God, believing it from the heart, confessing Christ, repenting of our sins, and being baptized to receive forgiveness of our sins as alien sinners. When we do that, the Lord Himself adds us to His body, the church, and we're in God's family. We're forgiven. Our duty then is to study, grow, and learn, and live faithfully. But as human beings, we're going to make some mistakes. God has provided a plan and mercy and grace built in that when I make mistakes because of human error, I can come to Him and I can confess my wrong, I can repent of it, and I can turn from it, and He expects me to forsake it and not go back to it and be determined to try to stay away and not do that again. That's what He wants out of me. That's what He wants out of you. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? And if you have you been walking in a way that's not acceptable and you need to get forgiveness and have your sins swept away again? You can do that through confession and prayer and repentance, and God will forgive you. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be baptized into Christ, or perhaps you have something you need help with, please come while we stand and while Peter leads us in the invitation song. Jesus, the loving shepherd.